Welcome aboard, you people. Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc is up for another day of broadcast insolence.
People are getting ready for the holiday. You can see Michigan Avenue not so busy right now, but it will be Friday.
Oh.
The craziness will begin.
I must say that I've done a little bit of the shopping today.
Yeah, there are deals already out there. I'm getting the stuff in my inbox for discounts
and
sales.
Yes, there was a crazy Keister deal yesterday for the Best Buy. So I had to stop in there today. And then I went to, and there was a crazy deal at the Crate and Barrel. I decided that since I'm hosting tomorrow night, and I'm doing
this, and I'm kind of doing this.
So now, my daughter and son-in-law have decided they're coming over to help me with the cooking, which I thought was very nice.
That's the best time. I love the cooking with my sisters Thanksgiving. It's one of the things I look forward to.
So that was very nice of them. Now, the most important part of that is that I say it on the air, so they are now committed officially to having to do that. But there
is no backing out now.
No backing out now.
Your credentials look so bad because people will come up to you and say, "Oh, it's so sweet. You're going to cook with your dad." No, we're not.
I heard, he said it on the radio. What?
No.
Yeah. No, that was their plan last night. So that's going to happen. So we're going to cook for the family and families. And then we're going to get it all done. I went over to the Palina Market today.
Perfect.
The door, man. Out the door at Palina Market for people who are picking up their turkeys and all the other stuff. Because, especially if you got people coming in from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are, first or second generation European types, if you want to get like
stuff
serious,
from the old country.
Serious stuff from the old country that tastes like stuff from the old country.
Yeah,
whether it's
that.
German or Austrian or Hungarian or even in the more Slavic, worlds, Violetta.
Serbian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that stuff there as well.
Oh, yeah. They have everything.
Yeah.
Things you wouldn't even think of.
You know what they have the best of? I don't want to say this in front of Anna or in front of more sensitive listeners.
Okay.
But they have veal loaf.
Veal loaf?
Veal loaf.
So it's like a meatloaf, but the veal.
But then you make it cold and you slice it real thin.
Yeah.
And then you put it on sandwiches or whatever.
Serbians make this gelatin thing with pig's feet.
Hard to find
pig's feet places.
Yeah.
Do they have pig's feet at Paulina?
They have everything. They get everything. It doesn't matter.
Huh.
They get it out. They get everything. Now, not everything's in the case. You have to ask and they go, "Yeah, we got it." And then there's a guy, and there's like 100 different guys behind the counter there.
They're so knowledgeable. That's what I love.
And they'll
tell you how to cook something. And then you're like, "Hey, if I'm going to try to do this, how would I approach that?" And they have all the ideas. That's what I love.
And it was crazy.
And they're right. They make it taste great.
And this time of year, for Thanksgiving and then as you head into Christmas, it is I do that for the White House.
What was that for?
For Christmas. As soon as you head toward that, or for Christmas parties and stuff like that, holiday parties, you get the most amazing lines of people, right? And they do these trays and the stuff's coming out. Anything that you want that was once walking around on 4 feet and now is in a cold case, it's there.
So they have the pre-cut trays that you just pick up and run, you're talking about, if you're going to a party?
Well, you have to order that in advance.
You have to order it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
They're not magicians, but they'll get it done.
They do get it done, and they got the vegetables, and they got the whole thing. I need extra Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because you're going to try that Brussels sprout with the cranberries.
With the apples.
Oh, apples, yeah.
Apples.
Throw some cranberries in there, too.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Do they do the seafood? I forget it. The Paulina Meat Market. They do that? Because I'm making an etouffee this year from my...
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah.
More for the
seafood veal
ears.
Loaf. You're
doing
pig's feet gelatin.
There are several non-meat eating people at our Thanksgiving, so we usually just eat the sides. And those of us that eat fish, then this is another option.
All right. Now, I'm going to lose my appetite officially. Were we able to find this picture?
Oh my gosh, it's trending. The name Joe Barton is trending. And a lot of people may not even think, "Oh, well, who's Joe Barton?"
Congressman. Well, explain this.
Congressman from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Republican. And there is an image, a selfie, we could call it, he took of himself. He's naked. And,
this guy?
Yes. And he says he was separated from his wife, second wife, I think, and before his third. But this was... I mean, this is the explanation. And then he said,
the picture.
This is like me. This is like me running for Congress. This is why they got to win it. And moralizing with people. You know what y'all need to do? Y'all need to respect the sanctity of marriage. Been married three times.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Well, you like it that much.
This picture is everywhere.
Oh, my.
You're looking
this
at it?
Hold on, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I know.
Hold on, it's coming.
And I think it's blurred in all the ones that
yeah,
I saw.
Yeah, no, mine's blurred too.
Because it actually
but...
popped up on my, you know, right on my Twitter feed.
Oh, God.
The picture over and over and over again.
You mean like a Harvey Weinstein personal assistant? You mean like that? That's how often you get the picture?
But you just know it's going to be bad when you see his regular picture. You know, you're like, this isn't going to be pretty.
Okay. And then I heard it's being handed to me.
Okay.
It's
oh, you printed it out? Come on.
So apparently he
oh,
shared.
Oh, my God.
Worst angle ever.
Oh, my God.
Why would anyone do
doctors
that?
Doctors don't want to see that.
No. And he includes his face, too. So you know it's him. He can't say, well, that's not me. I mean, it's
him. Just the most unflattering place that anyone would ever take a picture.
It's from below. We should say that. He took the phone and put it near his knees, and then he took this picture, and it's just, you know.
Oh, my God.
There's also a text message attached to it.
That's really horrible.
I mean, but it looks like an old school text, like a flip phone, because it's not a smartphone for sure. Because the way the text comes in, it's with the name on the top and the date at the bottom.
There's more? You're handing him more? What more is there to see?
His phone was fully charged when he sent that.
Yeah, that's true.
His phone had all bars.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I can see that right there. Yeah.
Full bars.
Yep.
That's what you'd say.
Yeah, it's full bars, and his sound was up. That's the things we've all learned from his right above his inbox, which is what he's going for there. I want you so bad right now. Mm-hmm. And then two words that, you know, otherwise would not be dirty, but he put them together and they're kind of dirty.
Mm-hmm. Kind of describing himself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Completely.
Who is he sending? I hope he's sending this to a blind girlfriend.
To stop. He said, I had sexual relations with mature adult women when I was separated from my second wife.
Well, there's a step in the right direction.
See, that's actually, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, this is
consenting
adults.
I just want to say to all my Southern Republican friends, I just want to say, I'm separating them out from the Northern Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
To all my Southern Republican friends, I would like to just say, it's good if you can somehow get them over the age of 18. I don't know. By the way, did you hear this? I don't know if this is in the top five yet.
Okay.
And again, because that's always a surprise. I want that to be a surprise every day so we can react
to
it.
We're both surprised.
But the Roy Moore's pastor,
mm-hmm.
who is creating one of the pastors who supports Roy Moore, I should say, was making the excuse for Roy about the fact that, well, see, he got back from Vietnam. He went to West Point, got back from Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
And he was working as a lawyer. He's going to law school. All the good women were already taken of his age. So he decided to go this is exactly what the pastor said, in a different direction.
What?
To find women. You mean
14 and 15-year-old girls?
Middle schoolers and high schoolers.
I don't know.
Ninth graders.
That's
a different direction.
I'd like to believe that there may have been it was a different time and maybe people got married younger. You know, you certainly saw 18 and 19-year-olds in the South getting married at that time. That was pretty normal.
It was a different time in 1979? It wasn't. I was around in 1970. I was 14 in 1979.
But in the South, don't you think, if you just look at the average age of marriage, it has gone up over the years to now the point they say it's 29 or nearly 30.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to, but I still am not justifying a 14 or 15-year-old girl. There's no way. That is just wrong on all fronts.
I'm the age of, and I maybe because I grew up in Chicago, what I consider to be a sophisticated city. In Alabama, they would just say it's just a bunch of crazy people running around with guns shooting each other. And you know what most of them people are too, don't you?
What?
That's exactly what they say in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
what
no,
they
there's
say?
More. They're handed more of this now.
Wait, more of
the Joe Barton stuff.
Joe Barton stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see her response.
Like, there's a picture of the woman. She wears pearls. She looks like a lovely, like, kind of wealthy woman.
Wait, this is the exchange? Between...
No, they've got a picture of her now. I don't know what this is like a fort. Anyway, the point is, this looks like a woman's walking into an Easter brunch at a country club. So, oh, God. Well,
wait, turn around. Let me see it. Oh, so this is what she texted back.
No, she's the...
No, that's
she's
just
the
that's
one.
That's just the woman. We're just
that's
showing
the, that's the lovely lady that received this inappropriate, really mm-hmm. disgusting
oh,
photo.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And shared it with the world. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, where was I? I was so.
You're talking about
so
Roy Moore.
Roy Moore. So in 19, I'm about the age of these women who were making the claims against Roy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember the late 1970s as a teenager. And or as an early teenager. You know, even back then, you're still not allowed
to
have sex with like a 35-year-old guy showing up at the high school and trying to troll for the ninth graders.
Not okay.
Was not okay.
No, not okay at any time. I agree.
So, anyway.
And he also dated younger ladies because of their purity was the other thing that...
That was the pastor said, yeah, because they're pure. There's some innocence to that because they are pure.
It gets more gross and disgusting, isn't it?
You know, and they don't have, they didn't have a lot of other people, all up on them. Oh, God. I'm all not going to get lectured by some radio jerk in Chicago where they're doing, all the different sex things there, and they got all them people running around with the guns, and they got the Jewish mayor. They're not going to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Oh, God. This is what's happened here.
I know.
In our fair little world is we have broken down into tribes, and some of the tribes, and the tribes just don't understand each other, and we're supposed to be, and as part of a city that is a gigantic tapestry, as Chicago or New York or L.A. are, you try to just kind of give people a pass and understand, with an open mind that, people are different and this is okay.
I would have to say the tribal thing has to break, and everyone has to agree on at least one thing. You don't molest children.
He was asking their parents.
Well, you don't date
okay.
children. People have to protect children.
There was a war on. There wasn't even a war on. There wasn't. The war had been over for 6 years when this happened. All right. Do you mind if I stop here? A.B. Stoddard is going to join us right after Violetta with the WGN Driven Trouble Spots.
Then there's this, play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today. Think of the bright side, though. At least you got it out of the way before your Thanksgiving meal. You got to see it, and it's done. It's over. Just try to do that. If you have any intention of seeing the Barton picture, just go ahead and get it over with.
No one should do that.
I wouldn't advise it. I agree, Violetta. You wouldn't.
I mean, curiosity kills the cat, right? But look it up if you want.
It's hard to avoid it, actually, because it's just everywhere.
Oh, God!
It's just...
trending.
So many things are wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk to A.B. Stoddard, shall we?
Yes.
I don't know.
She'll save us.
I don't even know if I should even bring this up to her.
No, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't.
Yeah. All right, A.B.?
Yeah?
Have you seen the picture?
God, you just brought it up.
No, I don't look at pictures of Republican congressmen's junk.
It's blurred. They took the junk out. It's the rest.
A.B. probably has access to the
rest. No, it's the rest. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I can't bear it.
You will not unsee it. They say there's pictures you can't unsee. Yes. And I think I've seen a lot of stuff.
Don't make me.
I'm not going to make you. I'm just going to say, I'm just warning all of our friends out there, if you choose to look at this, not only will you never look at this guy the same way again, because, and who should, but, this is a view that his doctor hasn't seen. This is a view I've never seen of myself and never would want to.
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, my Lord.
People need to keep that. Not bring it to Thanksgiving.
Yes, if you want to. Now, this is the thing. If all of a sudden a political discussion breaks out on Thanksgiving and you want a bunch of leftovers, pull the picture out and show it to people. They'll run out of your house. They won't eat, and you'll have all the food to yourself.
Go to the bathroom.
Oh,
I know. I know. All right. I guess the biggest series of questions that we should have here. I'm starting to believe something, and you tell me if I'm like totally crazy. The president is often described by people around him. Well, he's off the record they'll say, well, he's a little crazy, but crazy like a fox. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I tend not to believe that until just about now, whereas we had yesterday probably one of the most important anti-consumer, pro-business, and big business owners thing happen in the history of modern America with the dissolution of net neutrality, which basically is going to allow the big corporate providers of internet, your service providers, to be able to throttle up and throttle down any website they wish to or any other information provider, content provider, that they want to for their own needs, so they can either hold those guys up so that they have to pay those providers more to get faster access to you, or for political purposes or for corporate purposes if they choose to. And they and the Trump administration, through their FCC, just said, hey, yeah, that's what we're going to do. They just changed it like that. And in the meantime, we're talking about LeVar Ball.
I know. I'm disturbed by the net neutrality thing.
Your thoughts?
I don't know. Maybe it was more news about one more list of the long list of items that Jared Kushner is under scrutiny for with the special counsel that was a headline he wanted to change. You know, there's usually more than one.
Yeah, well, there might be.
That's true.
And it was the Jared.
And he might not have watched the LeVar Ball interview, and he might not have had time to watch the whole thing and sort of ingest it until he got to Mar-a-Lago after he pardoned the turkeys, and that's when he had to get going about LeVar Ball.
And the Jared Kushner piece, by the way, if people are wondering, because I don't think a lot of people did see this yesterday, is that there's another piece of data that he did not share, right? That there was an exchange that he did not share?
Well, they're now examining his role at the behest of the Israeli government in a dispute at the UN during the transition in December of 2015, when he was not yet officially in the government. And it's the special counsel will be asking him there are many areas now for which he's, you know, going to be questioned. The role he had in perhaps recommending that the president fire James Comey, this UN dispute, obviously his omissions on the SF-86 form, his meetings with various Russians, and it's possible as well that they're going to be examining some of his financial dealings. So he's it doesn't mean that he's criminally exposed, but he has not been entirely truthful and not shared all the documents with his, the fact that he was in the WikiLeaks emails and everything with the Senate committee. And so therefore he's now, for many reasons, he is now going to be interviewed by the special counsel for, the following five subjects that I mentioned that taken together, bring him under a cloud of suspicion. Again, doesn't mean he's committed any crimes, but the person who's pursuing whether or not crimes committed is going to be talking to Jared Kushner. And he's just gone completely silent. There's reporting out of Vanity Fair that the president wants his daughter and son-in-law to go back to New York and thinks that they're getting too much negative press. So there's a real question about what his remaining role is and whether or not, he's in some kind of legal trouble.
Yeah. AB, I want to ask you about the Congressman Conyers thing. Two Democrats are now asking for him to resign over his sex harassment issues. But I think, and I don't know if he should or shouldn't, but I think one of the more interesting things to all of us as taxpayers that came out of this is this so-called slush fund that was paying off sexual harassment victims in some cases, and that it was kept secret, and the U.S. Treasury was actually paying for them. Were you aware of this, and why didn't it seem to be public knowledge?
That's really going to be, I hope, the biggest, reform revelation to come out of this, is the fact that the Office of Compliance, created by the Congressional Accountability Act, is the body that settles disputes, and sometimes they're employee discrimination, racial issues. It's not always having to do with sexual harassment or sexual assault, but they have done settlements, and then I think the reporting on Congressman Conyers shows that he took his own office budget funds and provided a three-month sort of severance as a deal. I guess it's implied to silence an employee that he had harassed. And so the question comes, the two questions that arise are what kind of money is the Office of Compliance free to dole out to resolve these issues and settlements? And then as a member operating your own member your office budget, are you allowed, without the leadership knowing, to start paying off people who you harm? So we have to get to the bottom of how these funds are used, and it really needs to be legislated. Needs to be taken care of in addressed in legislation immediately, and then we're going to have to know which members were involved in paying off settlement.
Yeah.
One would think we should. Yeah. I mean, it seems like
it's been going on for years.
One thing for IBM, but it's not. It's USA. It's a little different.
Right. It is different.
Yeah. All right. AB, have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Guys. Thanks so much.
AB. Appreciate it. Talk to AB Stoddard from RealClearPolitics.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've got Kim Gordon standing by. WGN is 2 minutes away. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. I just want to make sure that everybody knows I did not misrepresent the pastor of Roy Moore, who earlier came to his defense.
In a very odd way.
This is Pastor Flip Denham.
Okay.
That is his name?
Flip Denham. Pastor Flip. You know what Pastor Flip said today? Pastor Flip going to marry us. How does that? Just imagine all the different ways in which you could use Pastor Flip.
I know.
Pastor Flip said there's sin, right? It's Flip. Anyway, that's not why we called.
No.
Here is Pastor. It's what he said, really, that's more important than his name.
You need to understand the 40 years ago, what the sits and Laban was like in Alabama. It wasn't unusual. Judge Roy Moore graduated from West Point and then went on into the service, served in Vietnam, and then came back and was in law school. All of the ladies that, or many of the ladies that he possibly could have married were not available then. They were already married, maybe somewhere. And so he looked in a different direction.
Different direction. A little different direction.
14-year-old, 15-year-old
girls. Middle school. Yeah. That's what he decided to do that. Maybe high school. Maybe freshman
in
high school.
Just a bizarre way to justify it.
Not even the seniors. Not even seniors. He's like the NBA. They're going after the freshmen, not the seniors.
Now, no offense, but there has to be people out there that maybe lost loved ones in those war he was fighting. So they were single women.
Interesting.
When he returned from Vietnam.
Interesting observation. It's war widows. Should have gone for the war widows.
I mean, better than the teenagers.
Any war widows in this crowd here? Yeah, my guess is that the pastor's words don't make a ton of sense here. This is how people, just in order to get a vote on tax reform, right, or not lose a seat in the Senate, this is how people have to do the gymnastics, the moral gymnastics required to be able to try to get this through.
By the way, the lady that he's married to now, Miss Kayla, is a younger woman. He did that because, there's something about a purity of a young woman, and there's something about something that's good, that's true, that's straight.
Except she was divorced, so I don't know if that follows the purity thing. I don't get it.
Oh, there was that! Miss Kayla. You know Miss Kayla? She had purity because she's younger. Is it really? Really?
It's sad that that's a justification. If in other words, it is true what he's doing, I'm going to believe it is, and I'm just going to justify it by saying these are more pure girls. It's sick on so many levels.
And you're allowed to have a type, but if your type is young girls, that's not allowed.
Generally, no, it's not just not allowed. It generally results in a jail sentence.
Exactly.
Yeah. But he was a district attorney, so who was going to prosecute him? Can't prosecute himself. Unless he's, unless he didn't have access to a 14-year-old. Oh, my gosh. All right. Okay. See, the idea here, the interesting thing, now you've heard this come up a couple of times, where there are actually people acknowledging that he did it. Now, he's saying he didn't do it. He did it for his part, and this is where the president comes in, says he didn't do it. didn't do it. He strongly says he didn't do it.
He says he's going to sue the girls who, the now women,
right,
who are trying to make these claims.
The same way Donald Trump has sued the women who came after him. Not.
Hasn't happened.
Right. Yeah, that's the first thing you do. He just needs to win, and he needs to show up for at least one vote. That's all they need. But that's what's happened here.
To be fair, though, he was not their pick, right? He was not the establishment of the Republican Party's pick. It was that Strange guy. That's really his name. Wanted him. Which sounds better now in retrospect.
It turns out he wasn't the strangest guy in the race.
No, he wasn't.
No, not even close.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, they were the establishment's pick, but the thing is that this isn't about establishment politics. This is about
the vote.
And these are people who would otherwise be jumping up and down. I would imagine that Pastor Flip here would, you know, on any given Sunday be in the pulpit making a speech about moral purity and doing the right thing. And when you think of purity, does he mean the purity that he was just talking about? Can you play that again for us, that purity part? I just want people to hear that again.
By the way, the lady that he's married to now, Miss Kayla, is a younger woman. He did that because, you know, there's something about a purity of a young woman. And there's something about something that's good, that's true, that's straight.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That bothers me more, I think.
Now the communications director for Roy Moore has resigned this morning. I pray to God it's because of this. That it wasn't just fired. Now the campaign is saying that he wasn't prepared for the national attention. This guy, I'm hoping that the communications director didn't reach out to Pastor Flip and said, Pastor, could you help us with that whole younger is pure thing?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
These politicians, there is a day of reckoning here where they have to take a look at themselves and say, what will we tolerate among our own party just for the vote? And I think it's the same thing on the Al Franken side. You saw people coming forward to say, well, we can't have him step aside.
Or John Conyers.
John Conyers, even more so, I think, because of the taxpayer funds being used to allegedly pay off victims.
Well, John Conyers shouldn't have been in Congress anyway. I mean, John Conyers, for the last 20 years, I mean, he absolutely embarrassed himself during the hearings last week, the House Judiciary Committee hearings.
He lost his train of thought, I think, didn't he?
He's just out of it. He couldn't get through the questioning. I mean, there's a point at which you just got to give it up. I know that John Conyers, you know, has an important historic relevance in the House of Representatives, but there is such a thing as staying too long.
He
did. And if he was sexually harassing people on top of it, then you got
to
go.
And using taxpayer dollars to cover it up and then keep it secret.
I mean,
his story is an example of how so many of these cases never went anywhere. You were sworn to secrecy. You got this payoff at the taxpayer's expense. He didn't have to pay for it. Why wouldn't he continue? It's horrible. Horrible situation.
They're pure and they're straight.
Oh, God.
I mean, how many people buried their head in their hands when they heard that? I saw Violetta do it. I saw Anna do it. I couldn't believe it. You can't believe where we are now. The people are having to twist themselves to make excuses for what is not normal behavior, stuff that normally would have cost other people to go, well, we just love the honesty of it. Because people love, it's like a video game. The world has become a video game. To people, they're not really living in it, and they don't think about the consequences of, well, if it's on a screen somewhere, if it's on TV, it doesn't have any consequence to me. I get up and I go to work. You know, I get killed in Halo, but then I get up and I go and get something out of the refrigerator. But there are real world consequences to this. Mm-hmm. There are real world consequences to your votes, and maybe somebody isn't the perfect candidate for you, but he's going to be better than somebody else. And I'm not saying, and for the people of Alabama, that, you know, oh, the Democrat, oh, we'll never do that. We'd rather have a guy to set a church on fire. At least he's for fire, right? I mean, I don't even understand how it's possible.
Exactly. Well, you're used to seeing in politics the deny and deflect is usually what your supporters
yes.
do. Not justify. Yes, it was okay that he was with 14-year-old girl because she's pure. There weren't any women left in Alabama when he got back from war.
First of all,
then you wait.
It was 6 years after the war. It wasn't like You know what? First of all, let me explain this. And then we got a break here. But let me explain this. See, that's why when Andy and Barney wanted Chinese food, when they were going to take Thelma and the girlfriend of the day of Andy to for Chinese food, they went to Mount Pilot. Because Mount Pilot was the bigger town where they were able to find a Chinese restaurant. They didn't have one in Mayberry. So maybe Judge Roy Moore should have gone to Mount Pilot to find a woman. More appropriate to his age. As opposed to trolling the Mayberry Middle School. See you later. Here he is, Tom Skilling, as we're getting ready for the Thanksgiving Day. We are now just hours away.
Hours away, Ro. And we have the big parade tomorrow. It's going to be a nice Thanksgiving. Seasonable temperatures. And then a big warm-up for Black Friday. And another warm-up early next week, Monday, Tuesday. In fact, Pacific Air will dominate pretty much the next 2 weeks with little 2 and 2.5 day incursions of cooler air like the one we'll see over the weekend and the one we're in right now.
Sort of flipping the script, as people like to say.
Exactly.
When you say warmer, though, Tom, you're talking 40s? Or what's
talking
mid-50s.
Mid-50s.
What's tomorrow, though? Because I'm cooking out part of my turkey.
Mid-40s, Ro, tomorrow.
Mid-40s. That's fine.
That's
But it's no rain, right?
No rain.
Is it going to be cloudy, sunny?
It looks like we'll start partly cloudy as the day dawns and turn mostly sunny.
All right.
So how about that?
Because today, now I put on a coat, right, to go outside today.
Sure.
And a sweater and a
very
coat.
Very wise.
And then I was running errands. I was getting, all my pre-Thanksgiving stuff in.
Yeah.
I'm running the errands, and I couldn't. And the problem was, it was too hot in the coat. So I was just running around in the sweater.
That's a nice problem.
In the sun, it was warmer because the sun is still, these last couple days of the sun being high enough to actually help us out here.
Sure.
And then it's going to go, starting, around December 1st, it gets real low until about February 1st.
Yeah. Right.
It pops back up.
Right.
Well, I always remember on the holidays, my mom wanted it to be cold because we didn't have enough refrigerator space, and she was always cooking for so many people. She used the outdoors as
put
the
it
refrigeration.
On the, outside on the porch or the balcony. Yeah. That's a heck of a plan. Saves on refrigeration.
Right.
It's very ecologically
but
mid-50s
minded. Mid-50s were not okay.
Let me tell you something.
She wasn't thinking that.
In the 1960s and 70s, they didn't care about the ecology at that point, right? That was not
That's
really the issue.
That's kind of come lately, hasn't it? Yeah.
It really has.
But We should have been caring about it, but it's nice. True. We've come to our senses and all. No, that's...
Oh, yeah. It's clear we've come to our senses. Yeah, that's what happened.
You know, I've got to tell you, I get a kick out of this office. Bill Snyder listens to... He loves Christmas music. Mm-hmm. So he comes in singing whatever he's been playing in his car on the way in. So today... He was singing Andy Williams and that one that goes whoop-dee-doo, and said, how are you, and all that kind of stuff. And so we find out what Bill's been listening to on the way. But it does lend a holiday feel to the office.
Just have him hum the holiday tunes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does he have a good voice, or is he one of those that sort of sings for himself?
No, he can hold a tune. He's an Illinois State alum, and those guys down there,
the
they
bird.
Learned to... Right, it's like Dan Rowan; he can sing too. So,
yeah, that's what it is. It's Illinois State.
All right,
it changed the whole world of singing.
Exactly.
I got my own mix. I got my own Christmas mix.
Do you?
Yeah, that on a CD that I have in my car. I'm like old school about that.
No question, Ro. Isn't it the music this time of the year is phenomenal?
Well, it is. I like the Christmas music stations. Whether it's terrestrial radio or satellite radio, or
right?
Whatever,
right.
You can get that. And there's such like god awful Christmas music too, that it's sort of like Grandma got run over by the reindeer. I don't want to hear that ever, ever under any circumstances. And I don't want to hear Tubular Bells. I don't want to hear anything from Mannheim Steamroller.
Chipmunks is the one that gets me.
Or a chipmunk song. I don't want any of that.
Well, that's true.
It's like.
I want great artists who decided they were going to write and do their own Christmas song.
Not like AC/DC doing Do You Hear What I Hear or something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes it's fun. Sometimes that's okay.
Yeah.
But not, but again, it's got like, the greatest Christmas song of all time, without question, without any fear of reservation, Donny Hathaway. And This Christmas. There's nothing like it. There's no
really?
Song. Yeah, right.
That's
here, baby.
Favorite.
Take a listen. All right. Hang on, mistletoe, I'm gonna get.
to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together.
Hey, that's not bad.
Right.
That's very nice.
It does feel like the holidays when
yeah.
you hear that. It's
right.
Just, yeah. Who doesn't like that?
Now, you want... I'm telling you... So, hold on. Bring it up 1 second.
No, you
that's
picked
it.
A hit there, Ro.
That's
that,
it.
That is good.
That's my entire Christmas tape right
wow.
there. That's the whole thing. That's my CD in my car. It begins in, there's a U2 song in there.
Oh.
There's
yeah.
a,
so you do the old school and you mix with some newer.
Well, this is not even old school. And then
the
little.
You don't do like the.
I'll go back.
Bing
I get a
little, Crosby and stuff.
I do have a Dean Martin in there.
Dean Martin.
That women hate, which, by the way, now is an illegal song.
Is it?
This, yes.
Women don't like it anymore. It's, the millennial generation looks at it in such a different way than you know, my parents. Or
yes.
I always think of the Harry Simeon Corral. And you know, and Andy Williams, and stuff like that. But and Brenda Lee, remember Brenda?
Yeah.
And oh gosh, I can't think of his name. The male singer that I'll think of it. But at any rate, there's so many great ones.
Well,
Burl Ives. I couldn't think of
sure.
Burl Ives.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But then you also have old school, new school.
Yeah.
Right. When you know you have the Bing Crosby.
Yes.
And the
I
David
love
Bowie.
That.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
does he sing with Bing?
They sing with each other.
Ah.
Right here.
They told me ba-rum-ba-bum-bum.
Right? Bing Crosby and David Bowie.
Isn't technology wonderful?
They did this together, actually. They were both alive at the time.
You're so kidding other, about
no,
that.
No, 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 no. That's yeah, no, no, this is their song.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
All right, there
wow.
you go.
Wow.
Very nice.
You've got some great ones there. That's
that
not
is.
Bad.
Yeah.
Well,
tell Bill Snyder to, you know, stick his holiday light or whatever it is.
Oh.
Where
he's
the
listening.
Sun don't
that's
shine.
That's not
yeah.
the holiday
tell him right
spirit.
Now. Tell him right now. Tell him, you know what you got to do. You got to, first of all, listen, WGN.
You hear that,
on
bro?
The way in.
Did you hear that, Bill?
And that's the first most important thing, Bill.
Yeah.
Got to listen to GN on your way in and on your way out.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's A number one. B number two. You gotta be. You gotta. If you want to listen to something else,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll send you. I'll send you a file of the best song.
You'll
there
make
you
him
go.
A mixtape,
right?
Yeah, I'll make you a mixtape.
What's his favorite? Right. Ask Bill. What's his favorite?
What's your favorite
song,
Bill?
Christmas
your favorite
song.
Christmas song? He's thinking right now.
Okay.
I can see
well,
that.
Let us
look.
Know when he comes up with it.
You know that look.
I think Mariah Carey. I'll
you know.
Oh,
I do.
Mariah
I do.
Oh,
like
Nat King Cole. Now listen to this.
See, Nat King Cole.
That's a good choice.
Love that.
Do the Mariah Carey. Get Mariah.
I love Mariah Carey.
Just us roping. Yeah, that's a classic. Chestnuts roasting
on an open fire.
Open fire.
Yeah, I got you, Tom.
Jack Frost nipping at
your
nose.
Let
you know, even
your sentences,
as much of a nut bag. Oh wait, I'm sorry, I'm talking over him.
Yeah, let's hear what he's saying. Bill's what, got some thoughts.
Anything from Andy Williams between you know Happy yeah. Holiday and
mm-hmm.
Wonderful Christmas Time.
All right.
See that?
All
so,
right,
he,
yeah.
you know, this is, he has, I've
yeah.
got to hand it to him. He's got good taste.
He does.
You know?
He likes the classic ones.
He likes the classics.
Like.
I
so
know.
He never belts out a Mariah Carey there in the weather office.
See, this, well, I want him to take off his shirt and just start dancing around to this right
great
now.
Song. I love this one.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine what you have to buy Mariah Carey for Christmas.
Oh, gosh.
You know, so, I can see the entire morning crew here dancing to that.
I, oh, I love
see,
it.
Yeah. Larry Potash and, you know, Pat Tomasulo.
Oh, God.
Good chips.
Hold on, here comes it. All right.
Oh,
that's a great Darlene
song.
Love song originally,
that is.
But she does a wonderful rendition of it.
We play that on our float at the Thanksgiving parade. So that's a famous song. That's a great
and
one.
And it's also in one of my favorite movies that I watch every year about this time of the year. Yeah. Love Actually.
Yes.
That song is featured prominently in that movie.
Love Actually does it. It's a very good movie for your Christmas romantic
comedy.
Right
on the holidays.
I watch all of the Hallmark Channel movies. I'm excited. There's a Countdown to Christmas starting soon.
Oh, God.
I still love the Christmas Carol, the Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, well, if you love
the
that,
classic.
Richard Roper was here yesterday to tell us about
The Man Who Invented Christmas.
The Man Who Invented Christmas is the name of the movie, and it is the story of Dickens writing that book because he didn't have a hit.
Yeah.
He needed a hit, and he was having trouble. He had writer's block, and then he decided to use these characters in his life.
Amazing.
Even in the 1840s, and the thing is that Christmas wasn't the same, didn't have the, you know, the same kind of import, like commercial import back then. It was a religious holiday. It wasn't really a commercial holiday.
Yeah.
But he wanted to do something because it was, you know, a time of year. And really, it's kind of the beginning of the commercialization of Christmas. You know, you start with Dickens, and then you work your way to Coca-Cola and Santa Claus, right? And then next thing you know, here we are. And then you got Donald Trump going, if you don't take Christmas, you're going to jail. So there's that.
Right. Yeah, we've kind of advanced the whole theme there some. Well, that's interesting. So Tiny Tim and all the characters, Scrooge.
Was his cousin.
Really?
Yeah, it was nephew or cousin. What did Richard say? It was a relative of his, a kid who had a debilitating disease and had to walk with a cane. Yeah. Scrooge was his was a guy who worked with him in the office,
and he bumped into him and he said humbug.
Right, and they basically had to. Right, that was the guy. That was his trade. You know, that was his word.
Yes,
and he said that's kind of what gave him the idea to even write
That's
it when he heard
interesting.
That
really is interesting.
So it's a movie, and he said it's great.
Yeah.
So if you like that, it's a way to go see a sort of a modern telling of that story, but also
a different perspective of the man who wrote it all.
That sounds
the origin story.
Sounds great. Because who among us hasn't seen that movie? Mm-hmm. And it's a classic.
Freaks me out, man. I don't like the idea of someone standing at the end of your bed ever.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's
home invader, or
home invader, or a crazy former lover or something. I don't know, whatever it is. You just don't like the idea of waking up and someone else staring at you, you know. So that always, even as a kid, I realized that was a bad idea.
But the idea of converting a guy who's kind of a tightwad and not very human and mean to his employees and all that is a pretty neat theme around Christmas time. It's a great theme any time of the year.
Yeah, a lot of lessons learned.
Yeah.
And somehow you just can see it over and over again. Doesn't
but you are right. That was creepy when they, took him back to what the world would be if he had,
I always got lost by, the second spirit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to go sleep.
But it is the kind of thing that freaks you out. I think that my daughter just told me she had a dream like that, too. Maybe it is a kind of common nightmare.
I think so. Anna.
Tom, who
I think
would
so.
You change? Who would you help get in the Christmas spirit by you at WGN?
Who would I help here?
Yeah.
Thomas Sulo. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. I've told him so often I could have him killed. I've got to mend my way with Pat.
Yeah, now he's a big deal. Now he could have you killed, which is kind of bad.
I know.
Yeah.
And I'm the most unlikely one to do harm to anybody because I can't stand blood and I
don't
run
in the other direction.
Too. Yeah. So I'm afraid. I'm all bark and no bite, But
I'm just trying to think of who else over there seems like they got a bad attitude.
Oh, please.
Demetrius?
No.
He's all Christmassy?
No, Demetrius is wonderful.
Yeah,
and
no.
Aaron.
They seem lovely.
Jim Ramsey is such a nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's terrific. Jim and I get together and start laughing at the state of affairs, and, about an hour and a half later, we regain our composure and can discuss other things, but he's
like
fun to be around.
Isotopes. That's something else. All right, one more Christmas. This is a full holiday song.
Oh, okay.
This is also Darlene Love, made for Saturday Night Live. This kind of combines. This is a little something for the president to chew on, because even though he's got his son-in-law is Jewish and his daughter is converted to Judaism, that it's something to to think about, to sort of combine the Judeo-Christian democracy that is America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happens every year on Christmas Eve. All the happy Christian people take their leave. Yeah, the streets are deserted and they
Who's singing that?
Darlene Love.
Oh.
Very nice.
Great Darlene Love.
That's, yes. Well, that'll...
we'll add that to the mixtape.
Christmas Time for the Jews. It's a great song. It's got a good great Seinfeld reference in it, so that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
So going out and eating Chinese food and going to see a movie. You can get into a movie, mm-hmm. a really popular movie, because all the Christians are at home on Christmas Eve.
Well, it's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point. Yeah. That was the point. It was I don't know. See, I can't even say that now in this day and age without the president throwing you in some sort of a camp somewhere. I don't know. All right.
So, Ro, are you cooking outside?
Partially outside.
Are you frying your turkey?
I'm rotisserizing.
Oh.
I'm going to put one turkey on the rotisserie.
How about you, Anna? What are you doing?
My sister's cooking, but I'm going to help out with some side dishes. I'll probably go over and cook with her a little bit.
And we know Violetta is a restaurant in the family, so...
I'm not cooking.
You're not cooking, right?
No, my mom will be making 4 turkeys, though. They're open for Thanksgiving.
Wow. Oh, that's great.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stop by
if you need a turkey dinner.
I got I'm cooking 3 turkeys. I've never done this before.
No way.
I'm cooking that's 3 turkeys tomorrow.
Wow.
How many people are coming over?
2.
Going to be a lot of turkey sandwiches and turkey
they
soup.
They eat a lot, man. No. Yeah. Well, we got, it's like 2 families, and I got my own catering thing tomorrow, essentially, is what I'm doing.
So you've got the rotisserie.
I got a rotisserie chicken, and I got 2 in the oven tomorrow.
Wow.
All right.
Boy, you are an ambitious culinary character. On Thanksgiving.
I'm trying different preps for all of them, too, so we'll see what happens.
Ooh. Do you put stuffing in them at all?
I do not do the stuffing. You do not cook the turkey with the stuffing in it. This is a terrible mistake.
Yeah, you put it on a rotisserie, you can't do that?
Well, you can't do it, period. You should never cook the stuffing in the turkey.
That's because you've said this before. It's not what?
There's bad gut bacteria in that hole.
Wow.
That turkey hole is not a good place for people. Or for and stuffing, because the bread, it tends to absorb that stuff, and then it doesn't cook all the way through because it's protected by the carcass of the bird.
And then Chef Graham Elliott was telling us also added to that, saying it really doesn't even absorb any flavor, which is the whole intention of it, because it's surrounded by that
point.
That little
every chef
wall.
Will tell you don't do it.
So spraying with Lysol first doesn't.
I tried that. I did that. I think I got kicked off Channel 9 once.
Yeah.
Back when Gary Meyer and I were together. We did a bit at Channel 9 about how to clean your turkey for Thanksgiving.
Really?
And I poured a bottle of vodka into the turkey cavity. And there was, and then they pulled us right off the air, as I seem to recall.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what was wrong with that?
Well, I put on plastic and rubber gloves, and I had Lysol, and then the bottle of vodka, and then I took a swig out of the bottle of vodka, and they're like, "Okay, you're done." And
I see.
Turned everything off. That was before the morning show was as wacky as it currently is.
I was going to say, Ro, I don't think you'd have any trouble
Not
today.
Not now, but that was what it was. All right, Tom, we got to run.
Hey guys, have a great you too, guys. Talk to you
right.
Monday.
Here's Violetta. Rocon Show with Anna DeBlanche right here on 720 WGN. All right, here he is. Good old number 37, Anna Burrish, a friend, famed former Chicago Blackhawk.
Yes.
And let's talk about Tampa Bay. Can we just talk about that for a second? This Tampa Bay Lightning team that I hate so very, very, very much. It's big because last week we were at the United Center, a week ago today, as a matter of fact, and you had the Rangers at home, and then you're going off to Pittsburgh, right, in Pittsburgh, and then you have the Lightning tonight. And the Hawks have not exactly had it's been sort of a, like a 500 start. It hasn't been a great start for them. They needed to win these games. How exciting is it to be able to go in on a 2-game winning streak here?
Well, first of all, this team's playing awesome again. It's exciting to watch, and I think for the casual fan, I think these East Coast teams, they match up better against the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks like to run and gun. They like to be offensive. They like to be flashy, and there's teams in the West and in their division, think the Nashville Predators, that just play a boring style of hockey where they lock up the neutral zone. They sit back, they play defense, and then they try and counterattack. And in the East, you look at the Pittsburgh Penguins with Crosby and Malkin and Kessel and Gensel. They just want to fly and they want to go. And when the Blackhawks play those style of games, they seem to win because they've got players that they got the horses that want to run and they want to get up the ice. And I think tonight you'll see the same kind of game with the way Tampa Bay plays. they got some scary offensive guys, and maybe the hottest player in the league right now, and Steven Stamkos, who's fun to watch. So
yeah.
I anticipate this being another good matchup for the Blackhawks, where there's going to be some open ice for Kane and for Taves and for Schmaltz. So these matchups have been good for the Hawks, which is, I think, why they've been playing better. But then just to add on to that is they've getting some confidence again. They're getting that little bit of a swagger back that they didn't have at the start of the season. They looked like they were thinking too much, and they're starting to have some fun and have a little swagger.
Can you do that in hockey? It's an interesting thing when you've got, because the game goes so fast. I do know, you could see it in baseball, you could see it in football, because there's time between the plays where teams get a little tight, but the motion is so fluid in hockey. Is there such a thing as guys just thinking too hard and trying too hard?
Well, 100%. And you also have to, on the flip side, I can use myself as an example, because I was a very below average hockey player, but I just talked myself into thinking I was better than I was and was able to play for a long time. So you have to have that confidence and that belief, and sometimes lie to yourself and tell yourself that you're better than you are if you're going through a slump or you're playing bad. And I played 10 years knowing I sucked and just tried really hard.
Oh, please.
Told myself I was better than I was.
Adam, I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. I've been able to explain that to everybody,
yes,
too.
Yes, it's that Stuart Smiley
thing.
Well,
you guys are superstars on the air.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy for you guys.
Thanks,
yeah.
Adam. Was it Stuart Smiley? Was that his name?
Yeah.
On SNL, where I'm good enough and
yeah,
gosh
that,
darn enough.
That was Al Franken, by the way, who wrote that. So don't bring him up right now. Yeah.
Sorry I brought that up.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, all right. So the – and now there's – it's interesting because you just heard – let's talk about the circus trip a little bit. The Hawks are going on a bridge version because there's no longer a circus trip because they don't let the elephants in anymore. They just they basically gave up the entire circus now. So – but they still go on this West Coast swing. And earlier, Coach Q was talking about how – what a great building moment that was. It was really good for camaraderie when guys would get out and be sort of on this long tour alone by themselves. Did you find it to be that?
It was awesome. I mean, especially if you can find a way to win some games. If you go and lose four or five games, it kind of stinks. But it really was. And I think for this team, I think it'll be really good because you've got a lot of older guys now. When I was around, it was a bunch of young 25-year-old kids that wanted to go out and have fun and stay out late and get up early and go practice. So for this team now, with the older guys, they have the more veteran guys. In Chicago, they've all got families now. So when you're not playing, you're back home being the dad. You're being Mr. Mom. You're changing diapers, you're cooking dinner. And so for these older guys now to get out on the road, now they're going to hang out with the younger guys. They're going to hang out with Schmaltz and Hartman, and they're going to go and do stuff, and they're going to go to movies. They're going to go to dinners. They're going to go and do things that are going on in that town. And it really is a good time. You're forced to hang out with each other. And I don't mean that that these guys don't like to hang out with each other. They do. They've got a really close team. But when you're on the road for that long of a time, you've got to hang out. Those are the only people you know in town. So you're doing stuff together. So if you can win a few games and you're hanging out and you're having fun, it can really be like, a springboard for your season going forward.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation.
Kind of cool, Adam. They announced the Winter Classic would be the Blackhawks playing the Bruins, two original six teams, January 1st at Notre Dame Stadium. And I know there's some
January 1st next year.
Next year.
Yeah. I mean, 19.
Which is kind of cool. I guess there's some jealousy around the league saying the Blackhawks have gotten too many shots at this and they get too much love from the NHL, but we love to hear it. Is it fun playing outdoors? What's that like?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I got to be honest, it does surprise me. It feels like every year the Hawks are in an outdoor game. But if I'm a fan, I want to see Kane and Taves and Sharp and Schmaltz and Corey Crawford in that. I don't really want to watch, pick another team. I don't really care to watch the St. Louis Blues playing an outdoor game. I don't know half their players. Or the Columbus Blue Jackets. I don't know a lot of their guys. I want to watch Pittsburgh and I want to watch Chicago. They got all the stars in the league and they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
I think it's entertaining. I think the Blackhawks still need an all-star game too, if yes. And I don't know why they haven't got an all-star game yet. If we're going to start asking for things, how about let's ask for an all-star game too?
Yeah, excellent point. Well, the draft, that was fun.
They're fun though. But these outdoor games, they are special. And, 82 games is a long season. I think it's 20 games too long, if you ask me. But it's a good way to break it up. And it doesn't feel like a regular hockey game. It feels like it's some kind of mix between a Stanley Cup playoff game and maybe the first game of the season. It's a really different feel to it. Everybody's pumped up. You can feel the energy. You can feel the crowd. You can feel the excitement in the arena. It's a special day that everyone gets excited for. And again, it breaks up kind of the monotony of the, traveling and then into another arena and then into another arena, getting in at 2 a.m. And this is just a new feeling. And
yeah.
You know, cool. Guys get some new cool equipment, new cool jerseys. So it's a they'll be pumped up, and it's pretty neat to do it at Notre Dame.
It's fun to watch.
And there's nothing better than when it starts snowing during those games.
Yeah. That game, feels right.
The one game that the Hawks have won. I mean, this is the problem. Five attempts. They've only won one game.
And it's not good.
But the one at Soldier Field. And I'll just, that picture, I still have it on my phone, of Coach Q's mustache totally filled with ice and snow.
No, I remember right? that. I love that picture.
He looked like
picture.
A snowman. I mean, it was like, and the thing is, when it starts to snow, the ice condition, the puck's got to get totally affected by that, right?
The ice is awful. Every single outdoor game, the ice is atrocious. But who cares? It's kind of like, right. You could ask any player, they're like, yeah, the ice sucks. And if it was a regular season game, guys complain like crazy. But you get to play in an outdoor game. You could just play in a parking lot with no ice, and guys would have fun. But the ice sucks. The pucks suck. But it's just fun.
It's got to bring guys back to their childhood too. Guys grew up in climates where you know they freeze an area or go a lake or something, and that's where they originally learned.
I think. A lot of the guys.
Yeah, everybody played. A lot of guys played outdoors. I mean, I think now these young spoiled kids, they never played outdoors. They were in the nice arenas like the Chicago Mission playing at the new Blackhawks practice. So those kids don't play outside. They get to play at the $50 million arena, but these young guys, or the older guys, a lot of them grew up playing outside, and they'd have rinks in their backyards, and they'd go play until their parents screamed at them and made them come inside, and so it's pretty neat to play in front of 50,000 or 60,000 people outside. It's pretty special.
That just sounds like it.
Chicago Park District used to freeze the tennis courts and make them into ice rinks.
They freeze the parking lot across from my house growing up, Robert A. Black Golf Course, there at Pratt and Ridge, and it was the same thing. The guys would play hockey, and then the girls would figure skate,
right.
And you really didn't have much overlap then. Now you see a lot more girls coming in the sport, and whenever we're at the United Center, you see the girls out there in the Pee Wee Leagues, and it's pretty cool to see.
Very cool. Ice was lumpy, though. The Chicago Park District could never figure out how to get the lumps out of the ice.
They didn't have a good Zamboni.
It was kind of a problem. So it'd be a little, it was, when they say the puck took a weird bounce, it always took a weird bounce. There was no way
for the puck not to, it would
a pass, it would just bounce across, the ice toward a guy, maybe toward him, maybe not. Didn't matter. All right. Well, it's going to be, this is very exciting. So you're optimistic, obviously, you're a Hawks partisan, but you're optimistic that that this team's starting to catch a groove here.
They just need to loosen up and have some fun, and I see them doing that now. I see them having some confidence. For a little stretch there, for six or seven games, they just seemed really tight to me. They just didn't seem kind of in character. They didn't seem like themselves. But if you watch the interviews they're doing, if you pay attention to the news clippings that come out, or watch the interviews that they do on their website, they just seem like they're having fun again. They're positive. I think of something I heard Patrick Sharp say when they were kind of losing, and he said, "Hey, listen, nobody's going to feel sorry for the Chicago Blackhawks. Nobody's going to feel sorry for me. We've won three Stanley Cups in 7 years. Everybody wants us to lose. So we're going to have to find a way to get out of this, and we will. And I believe in the guys in this room," is what he said. And so that kind of just tells me, listen, these guys know where they're at. They understand what's going on. They know how to get out of this kind of thing, and they will, and they have lately. They've played really good. I mean, you go up and down their lineup, they got so many dangerous, good players that are experienced, that have won Stanley Cups. This team will find their way, and I still think they'll be just fine.
All right. Anna Bursch, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Adam. Appreciate it.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving. All right, we have got, or I don't know, in Canada, what is it? It's pre-Boxing Day? What would it be?
Oh,
I'm totally confused.
No, Boxing Day is on the 26th of December.
Right, but I don't know what you do for Thanksgiving. They have their own Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Eve.
They have their own Thanksgiving.
Who does?
The Canadians. It's in October. I just remembered that.
Oh. Thanksgiving.
There's a Canadian Thanksgiving.
Not like ours.
Not like ours, no. It's 1 month before ours. Theirs is more polite.
Well, we weren't very polite, so.
October 9th.
October 9th.
Yeah.
We missed it.
Yeah.
We got to do something next year for the Canadians.
Yes, that's what we got to do. Why don't you do the traffic for the Americans?
You were mentioning Canadian Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Did you celebrate Catsgiving? Thanksgiving for cats. We missed that one, too.
What?
That happened.
What? The cats are not thankful for anything.
No, okay. Cats. Not at all. It's so true.
Except for catnip. It's the only thing that they're thankful for, right? Other than that, it's like,
tuna sandwiches.
Yeah, it's sort of whatever. Well, That's the Rokan Show. Anna DeBlant is right here on 720 WGN.
Hope you're not stuck in too much traffic. But if you are, we'll try to make it more fun.
Yesterday was a bad day. Today's a bad day. Tomorrow, pretty much, it's interesting because people figure out when they're going to do their Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. And they get there and stay there.
Based on traffic. I think they figured that out.
Yeah, there's some neighborhoods that empty out in the city. You notice that?
I have noticed that. And thank God. I want everybody away.
You do?
Yeah.
Is your neighborhood one of them?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, I like about that. I like it that way. Get out! Get out! All right. You know what it's time for, don't you? Because we got a lot to get through here.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we will. You have to tell us twice.
Number five.
Our friend, Michael Steele. You know, he used to be the head of the RNC.
Yep.
He makes the top five today. Mm. Big deal on the cable today. He went on a tear over the president's comments on Roy Moore that all but outright endorsed the Senate candidate in Alabama. When Trump told reporters we don't need a liberal in the Senate seat, right? That was yesterday.
Yep.
Steele had to react. Very concerned. He says that the president and those who think that Roy Moore is a good idea for the Republican Party. And this is a guy who used to run the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
They may be missing the point.
This isn't not about the Republican Party. They don't give a damn about the Republican Party. This is not even about the women in this case. They don't give a damn about them either. That's what's so sickening about what the president did today. And every self-respecting Republican needs to stand up and say, enough. You cannot side with Roy Moore on this. You've got 9 women who've come out credible, laid their case out there, made that case to the people of Alabama, and the president is going to sit there and go, oh, well, he said he didn't do it. I mean, this is beyond stupid.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Yes.
I think it's worse when you say we don't care the character of someone as long as they're not liberal. I think that part, that sort of way of thinking is... got to stop.
Well, at some point...
And the other side, too. When you've seen the same result with Franken, people have said the same thing. He needs to stay.
See, this is the thing. It turns into your tribe. It's your guy. No matter what he did, it's your guy, so we're going to stand by our guy. That's a very, very dangerous thing. That's the tearing of the fabric of the culture of being an American. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened to being an American? And you can, you know, family and God and all the rest of those things are important. They can come before being a whatever you define yourself as politically. But if you are going to put your own humanity and your own morals and your own obligation to those around you who are weaker than you are, right? They can't make a they can't defend themselves as kids would not be able to do.
Absolutely.
And you put your tribe over that, that's a bad thing.
It's a sad thing.
It's a bad thing. Now, I do get that these, you know, for Republicans, like, well, what are we going to do? Nothing we can do about it. We're going to put a liberal in there, and then all the hell is going to go break loose. I mean, so what do you, I don't know. Come on, though. I mean, why? I mean, and Roy Moore's not going to, and Roy Moore, even let's say Roy Moore is completely innocent of these charges. This is completely, had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, when the whole rest of the world goes, well, you did it, you got to get out of the way. Doesn't mean he's got a right to be innocent, but he also has an obligation to his own party and to the United States Senate and to, you know, the world and to the Republican Party and to those who want to get the tax reform and everything done to ensure that someone else has a shot at voting for that. He's not going to get into the Senate until after the first of the year anyway, because the special election isn't until the middle of December. So, you know, they could push it by a month. He could step aside and they could push her by a month. Why doesn't he take responsibility for this? And he's got his own surrogates are out there, for example, who are defending him saying, oh, well, yeah, he probably did do it, but...
Number four.
There you go. A prominent preacher who appeared alongside Roy Moore at a campaign rally a few days ago says that, yeah, sure he dated teen girls, but he didn't have a choice.
You need to understand the 40 years ago what the sits and Laban was like in Alabama. It wasn't unusual. Judge Roy Moore graduated from West Point and then went on into the service, served in Vietnam, and then came back and was in law school. All of the ladies that, or many of the ladies that he possibly could have married were not available then. They were already married, maybe somewhere. And so he looked in a different direction.
Oh, my God.
Direction. 15-year-old, 14-year-old.
Down. He looked down.
Wait, is the argument that there are no women left in Alabama to date of age, so we had to go for the underage? Isn't that what he's saying?
You have to understand the sits and leave into the situation. Now, what was he saying there? Did anybody understand that word?
I don't know why. I don't know.
Is that something I should know and I don't know?
The seriousness?
Can you just play the beginning of that again?
You need to understand the 40 years ago. What the sits and Laban was like
the
in
and Laban.
Alabama.
I don't know. What is sits and Laban?
Sits and Laban.
Sounds Yiddish.
Yeah. It does sound, yeah. It does. Oh, my God. This is a Mishagasis guy right here. Let me just tell you. I mean, what? The sits and Laban.
Situation.
That does sound like something you would have at a religious meal.
Like Seder dinner. Yeah.
Right, Seder dinner. Like, yeah. Pass the sits and Laban.
Yeah. It doesn't really taste good, but it's sort of tradition, and so you eat it anyway, then of those.
Exactly. Did you
hear
that?
Fish.
Yeah. Essie died. Where's the sits and Laban? It's like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's what it is, though. I think situation is what I would guess.
He said sits and Laban.
I did. He clearly didn't say situation.
Maybe it's something down here in Alabama. Oh, my God. But wait. If you think that's... All right. That was creepy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait for it.
By the way, the lady that he's married to now, Miss Kayla, is a younger woman. He did that because, you know, there's something about a purity of a young woman. And there's something about something that's good, that's true, that's straight.
She was divorced at the time. I don't know if that qualifies. I mean, I don't know what distinction.
You're trying to make sense of what that guy just said. I want this to sink in. Play that one more time.
By the way, the lady that he's married to now, Miss Kayla, is a younger woman. He did that because, you know, there's something about a purity of a young woman. And there's something about something that's good, that's true, that's straight.
It is so wrong.
Even though she was like a 19-year-old divorcee. But whatever. Okay.
But there's a purity test for girls now?
Well,
people
don't understand is how difficult it is to find a woman with working parts down here in Alabama.
This is the part I just don't understand. He's justifying the behavior. He's not denying
this. This is a pastor. This is his pastor. Pastor Flip. That's his name. Oh, I mean, come on. Come on. And then here's the thing. The Republican Party can no longer, under any circumstances, one of the most effective tools that they have had rhetorically of the last 50 years is making people feel bad about being sinners, right? And making people feel bad about not being, you know, devout. And they got to put that away now. They can't use it. Well, they'll still use it, which is it's the ultimate in hypocrisy. But I don't understand.
Well, devout to what? At some point, their parties have to be out of the way. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. What he did is wrong.
Don't you understand?
No.
Little lady.
No.
See, what the problem is here is that there were not enough adult women folk in the village at the time.
After the Vietnam War.
The Vietnam War had happened. Many of them had gotten killed when the Viet Cong invaded Alabama and killed them.
I'd love to see this.
It's like a whole retelling of history.
Don't get it.
I mean, this, first of all, was 6 years after the Vietnam War. And the reason they bring that up is they're trying to hide behind and remind people that he went to West Point and he served in the Army.
Yeah, it's sort of...
They're trying to remind you that, you know, he's a great American, you know, he's a war hero.
It's It's unbelievable that he's justifying the behavior.
Right. I don't know if he's actually a war hero, but he served, right?
So yeah, he served. He went to West Point. It seems.
Yeah. Know. Was he a Green Beret or something too? I think maybe.
I
seem to remember that. But whatever the case, it's like okay, that's a big deal.
But we'd like to remind you that then he came back and he did not have his pick of women folk, which he should have had because he was a big war hero. And so then we told him then there's some pretty girls in the freshman class over at local high school.
Except they're 14.
Well, nothing's always perfect.
Like I said earlier, you know, if you're in Mayberry, you can always go to Mount Pilot. It's a short drive. You go there. You can maybe there's more folk over in Mount Pilot.
It's just a wrong. You just can't justify it by saying that.
And there's less
stretch.
Chance that they're your cousin.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to mention that part too. It's kind of okay to marry your sister if you got to.
All right. Here is. Oh God, this is just the worst. Sometimes the words that come out of my mouth, because they're in proper context, I can't believe them.
I know.
Here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Nice to know. Chicago residents, meantime, getting dumped on. Who's dumping garbage where it doesn't belong?
Ben what?
Bradley. I know. That happens next to my mom, by the way. Fathers are all the time. Ben Bradley digs around for answers. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
He'll go through your garbage. And he'll find stuff. Ben's the kind of guy that will find stuff, and then he'll assign a dirty meaning to it.
Yeah. Hold it above your head for the rest of your life.
Exactly. What's this banana for? I ate it. I don't know. All right.
Number 3.
Hey, the Beach Boys' Mike Love was in New York City this week promoting his new solo album, Unleash the Love.
Unleash the love and do it with dedication. Unleash the love and say.
It's kind of a cool, it's a cool song. Actually.
Sounds like it.
So he's heading back to Lake Tahoe, where he lives now, celebrate Thanksgiving, and he says the biggest part of the holiday celebration at his family. This would be really cool to be at Mike Love's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it would. I wonder if he sings.
Yes, is all about the music.
We have the grand piano and the harp in the living room, and we play Christmas time music and all that, which is. How we started. We started with family gatherings due to the fact that my mom was incredibly into music of all kinds. Anyway, so yeah, it'll be all about family, and I wish everybody, you know, a happy Thanksgiving.
Aw, very cool. Nice.
See, now there's a really there's a nice thought right there in the top five, right?
Number two.
Not so much of a nice thought here. All right, so let's take ourselves out to Montana.
Okay.
Mike Stevenson is a reporter on a TV station out there. He's getting married next week. Break the ice in an interview with Washington State head football coach Mike Leach, he decided to ask the coach, hey, you know, do you have any advice for a young guy about to get married? And
I'm just telling you, when it comes to marriages, the women lose their mind. Your fiancé's going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. They're going to barrage you with constant questions. What should we wear? And then, which, of course, my answer was, I don't care. And then, what color should the invitations be? I don't care. What should we have for dessert? I don't care.
Oh, this poor guy.
Oh, wait.
Get his head filled with all that. He doesn't need that.
Oh, but it's totally true.
Should we seat this way or that way? I don't care. But see, I don't care is not satisfactory at all. And you're going to get caught in a catch-22, and I'm certain that you already have. What color invitations? All right, the blue ones. Well, I kind of like the tan ones. Okay, the tan ones then. Oh, you're just saying that because you want this over with. You're not even thinking about it, which is, of course, true.
Probably is a pretty common story, isn't it?
What do you want for dessert? I was thinking of strawberry shortcake. Oh, okay. Yeah, strawberry shortcake would be good. Well, what about the blueberry pie? Well, I like the blueberry pie. We could have the blueberry pie. Well, I thought you said you wanted the strawberry shortcake. And it's just going to go back and forth. There's no answer you can give that is going to be satisfactory or correct. And if you successfully please a few of them, the others will still be, oh, well, I just don't feel like he's that interested. Yeah, okay, so you need to work late.
It's kind of true.
In the end, you'll wish you eloped, but nevertheless, you need to find excuses that they'll buy to be as far out of harm's way as you possibly can. And but take comfort in knowing that once the ceremony's over, life will get progressively better from there, even though there's some adjustment.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's hopeful. This poor Mike guy, he's going to be like, you think he just broke up the marriage before it happened.
Yes.
I mean, if he's not going to bed thinking twice.
Yeah. It turns out he's completely right about everything he said right there.
I actually know a few people have gone through all of that.
Yeah, not how that goes.
Yeah.
All right, and finally,
number one.
I think I love you, so what am I so afraid of? I'm afraid that I'm not sure of a love there is no cure for.
David Cassidy came to prominence as a 1970s teen heartthrob. Lead singer of the Partridge Family has died. He was born into the entertainment industry that made him a star.
Doesn't somebody want to be wanted like me? Just like me.
His father, famed actor and singer Jack Cassidy. His mother was actress and singer Shirley Jones. Same year, Cassidy moved in with his elder father and Jones, his three and a half brothers. After getting his high school diploma in 1968, his father helped him launch his career as an actor and musician.
Point me in the direction of Albuquerque. I want to go
home. Let me make a correction there. His mom is Evelyn Ward, actually.
Oh, yeah. Right.
An actress, Evelyn Ward. And then his dad married Shirley Jones, who was his mom on TV.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yes. So let me make that correction right there.
Oh.
That's
so
important.
So there was his mom. It was his stepmom.
His
mom on TV.
Correct.
TV,
yes.
Mom and stepmom.
Let me make that perfectly clear. In 1970, Cassidy began playing the role of Keith Partridge on The Partridge Family. His stepmom, of course, playing his own mother, who played a widow of five with five kids, right? Mm-hmm. That was the whole point of that.
Yeah.
The series, which ran on ABC for 4 years, very, very popular. Also had a very great, still has a great run in syndication.
A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy.
David Cassidy was 67.
The top five at five.
There you go. It's Blackhawks pick 'em. Oh, God.
Never goes well.
All right, Hawks taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming your way at 6 o'clock tonight right here on 720 WGN. And it's an important game. They're all important games mm-hmm. now. Once you make this turn right toward the sort of around Thanksgiving,
yep.
You've got to start paying attention. And the Hawks have their first month and a half on the ice. Not exactly. Been stellar.
Let's look alive, people.
It's been okay.
It's been inconsistent.
But inconsistent. Yeah. Exactly right. It's been inconsistent. And so has the performance of our team on the Blackhawks Pick'em radio game show.
It's been a disaster, not inconsistent.
Now, Dave, our caller, our contestant today, now he's chosen Patrick Kane, Alex DeBrincat, and he's also taken Brandon Saad.
That's going out on a limb. Way to go, Dave.
Nicely done. Trying to win, Rob. Now, that's the goal. I know it's very hard. It's very murky when we read the rules.
Well, those are the three that I circled, so I'm ticked.
Now, see, the rules are thus that everybody gets to choose three players.
Oh, God.
And then
I'm not going to go through the rules.
If I
please don't.
I mean, I could take you through the rules if you really wanted
no,
me to.
No.
Basically, the rules are this, that everybody now, in descending order of success, you get to you get to choose the three players and see what you do. Now, this is interesting. So far, the leader has been Violetta.
I know. That's crazy. I mean,
amongst
it's
all
not
of us.
That crazy.
Well,
you didn't know a lot of the players' names.
Yeah, but Ro, the last time I filled in for Judy, I did pretty well.
Well, and that confers to Judy's numbers. That's the only reason that Judy actually gets any kind of numbers.
So I'm being saddled with her failure?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now
you saved her, though.
Now, the callers, because they always get to go first, because we're polite that way. And again, don't make me read the rules.
But somehow you always figure who goes next based right. on prior week's score.
And so it's interesting that I've done well for so long, seeing how if I've made the most points, mm-hmm. then I should have gone last. But the way that I've been winning actually is yeah. by not having the most points each time, just having consistent points each game.
And mercifully, we don't play this game for every Hawks game. This is just, you know, on weekday games. And that's part of the rules as well, too. Please yeah. don't make me read the rules. And after 11 games, right now, the callers have 21 points. They should. And, they should win. They should always win every week because then mm-hmm. they get a $50 Lululemon gift card.
Nice.
Now, Violetta had been in the lead. She had 12 points going into the last game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She only got 1 point in the last game.
And you got
like, what did you get?
Eight.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, it was.
I think
was
you
insane.
Rigged it.
No. Well, I was there. I was there, and I was telling guys, you got to get me some points here. And you get a point for a goal or a point for an assist, right?
Yeah. This is Blackhawks Pick'em, okay, guys? I'm going to give you a 20, and yeah. I need you to make some points.
Hey, Richard Panic, come over here.
Really.
Come here. I get a little. Here's a little something for you. You know, and I did that thing where I tried to put a 20 in his shirt pocket, but he didn't have a shirt pocket.
No. Right?
So I kind of shoved it in between his shoulder pads and his...
Try in the helmet next time, right in between.
I think Richard Panic would be looking for more of a C-note, Ro.
That might have been the problem.
Yeah.
But he's Canadian. I think he just... Actually, he's not even Canadian, is he? What is he?
He's Slavic, I think.
Slavic, yeah.
Don't mess with him.
Right. I did. I stuck the 20 in the little hole at the top of the slits in the top of the helmet. It was kind of a weird thing. He didn't appreciate it.
He didn't.
No.
He does have your hockey name, though. Panicker.
Right, Panicker.
That's you.
Right. I also had Duncan Keith. He of the teeth. And Schmaltzy. I took Schmaltzy. He had 3 assists right there.
Man.
You did really, really well because I thought you were going to win that one, Anna.
I don't remember who I picked.
Well, I have it right here in front of me in case you're wondering. You had Brandon Saad, Alex DeBrincat,
yeah,
who had a goal,
him.
And Artem Anisimov, who had a hat trick.
Yep. I forgot. So, that's right.
So I'm thinking, yeah.
I couldn't believe
Huge.
How many hats people threw on the ice at that game.
That's what they do. It's why they call it a hat trick.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean,
you're really paying a lot of attention.
Do you get the hat back?
No,
you spent a good $35 on that.
Wait, what happens to all those hats? Do we know the answer to that? Do they give
well,
them to
the
charity
ice girls
or something?
The ice girls pick them up, which mm-hmm. I was watching, and then I don't know. They give them to their boyfriends.
I think they just shove them into I think they end up in the dumpster.
No,
can you imagine
that would be
the
terrible.
Bottleneck at the end of a Blackhawks game? Okay, Violetta, is there a Violetta? We got your hat here.
It's a line for the hats
can you,
here.
No, all right.
Get in line.
It's one T, not two.
We'll send you an email.
Yeah.
All right, so right now, the callers are 21 points. I've got 17. Anna's got 11. Judy's got 7. And those are all Martyr's points. Violetta has 13, and Kevin has 10. Now, even this game is so messed up that they can't even do this in proper descending order of numbers.
Well, they did it, I guess, in importance on the show. What is this?
I don't understand.
Horrible.
The whole thing is horrible.
I'm just
all
glad
right.
I'm not last.
Here we go. Well, actually, in this particular case, you are, let's see, well, Andy's going first for Kevin.
Oh, okay.
All right. Who do you want?
I'll go with Mr. Hattrick, Artem Anisimov.
Mm-hmm.
He's already, oh, no, never mind.
No, he's not.
Last week he was taken.
I'll go with...
Separate week.
I'll go with...
Why? Why do we have to play this game? All right, go ahead.
This is the fun part.
Who else?
I'll go with Schmaltzy, Nick
Schmaltzy. All right.
And I like the young defenseman, Gustav Forsling.
Forsling.
He's paid off.
He really has.
Yes, he has.
See, now you're thinking too hard here.
All right. Thinking assists,
Andy
goals.
In for Kevin.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. See, that's good to have a little extra there. All right, mm-hmm. Violetta, your turn.
Okay. Panic.
Mm-hmm.
Ruta.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharp.
All right. Oh, let's see what you did there. All right.
You did because I don't. I just fixed
yes,
it.
I don't. Actually, I don't either. I have no idea what you just did. All right. Let us now move on to Rob.
Captain Sirius, Jonathan Taves.
Still
right.
I want to take him.
Ryan Hartman.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's a good choice.
And John Hayden.
Actually, no matter what, it's a good choice here because, you know, that's all that's really left. Okay.
I'm going to go with Tommy Wingles. And also, let me look here. Duncan Keith.
Keither.
And Seabrook.
Seabrook. What's his hockey name?
Seabs.
Okay. All right. So you got the Wingles. You got the Seabrook, and then you took the
Keith.
You took Duncan Keith. All right. All right. So that now.
So you have
now. It's down to me, and so I just get to take the last three left.
Yeah. That's
which
right.
Right. That's how that works. So I get Connor Murphy. I get Lance Boma, and I get Cody Franzen.
Well, Hartman's left. Hartman's left too. If you want.
No, he's not.
Never mind.
See again. Again, wife, we should not play this on the air.
Who we had Hartman?
I don't know.
No one.
But someone did.
Someone had.
Judy, who was being played by Ross. Did, yeah.
I think we should add a new layer to this game next time
oh,
we play.
Oh, really? Really, we should?
I don't think we're ready for that.
You're going to go plus minus next time?
Next time, I thought we would.
there could be an auto. What we should do is add an automatic objection to the pick, and then start over, and then have to, and then we have to roll dice, or a game of chance of some sort of game of chance,
a blind round robin.
Yes, and then maybe a game of strength in between, maybe like an arm wrestle, and then a trivia.
Yeah, like
kind of thing.
A mental ability question. Like you just come up with something.
Okay.
No.
We always get texters, you know, sending in how to make this game even crazier. So we could always just refer to them.
It's going great, though.
Yeah.
It's going just great.
This is
great.
So much fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. All right. I'm going to let you do the traffic report, last traffic report of the afternoon, and then we're going to get ourselves ready here. There's another.
What?
There is another development in the emerging story today of Congressman Buttcrack, which we will share for you.
Choice words here, emerging and
yeah.
Oh, gee, we didn't need any more on that.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Here are there more pictures?
Oh God. All right. Now, I just want to say among the crazy stories of the day, and there's always a crazy one now. It just doesn't end.
It's true.
If you pay too much attention to the news, and we do, obviously, you wake up and you go, this is what? 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 And this,
or else you woke up and you said, why is Joe Barton trending?
First, right. Who's Joe Barton and why is he trending? Well, Joe Barton is a Republican congressman from Texas. And he's a member of the Freedom Caucus, super conservative guy. He's a guy that after the BP oil spill criticized the government for shaking down BP, for finding them, for literally almost killing the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, that's responsible.
Right? And he's a super conservative guy. And but he's had a little, who among us hasn't? He's had a little unluckiness in love, right?
Yeah, right. But this was,
through a couple
consensual
divorces.
Consensual, all of this that happened.
He got involved. He was, now this is a statement from him, and I'll get to what happened, but let's just do the statement first. While separated from my second wife prior to our divorce, I had a sexual relationship with other mature adult women. He has to make that perfectly clear right now.
In this context of where we are today.
Right. As a Republican from the South, he's got to make it perfectly clear that this was a perfectly mature adult.
Not a pure 14-year-old.
And it was consensual, unlike Harvey Weinstein.
Or Conyers.
He said that... Because, let's face it. This is not so easy anymore. Each was consensual. These relationships have ended. I'm sorry I did not use better judgment during those days. I'm sorry that I let my constituents down by taking a selfie of my own undercarriage and sending it to my girlfriend at the time. And with a text indicating that I wanted to do something to her. That started with my undercarriage. And the thing is, now here's what he did. And this is a tip to all you youngsters out there. Actually, this is a pro tip to oldsters, because the youngsters already know how to do this.
Yeah, that's probably
true. If you're going to take a selfie where there's going to be junk involved.
Or if you're sexting.
If you're sexting.
Not that you condone it.
No.
Because it's sometimes a bad idea.
It's a very bad idea. It never ends well. No. Here's a pro tip. First of all, don't show your face. And don't put the camera between your knees and shoot it up at you so that all of that stuff under, there's stuff under there in the male region that just should never be seen by anybody, up to and including medical professionals who are like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to do this part.
Everyone looks better from an up angle.
Yes.
Skinnier, more pleasant, lighting is right. Just any selfie, not even a non-selfie.
He literally put it down.
This wouldn't look great from an up angle.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Right, and he's got a dad bod, you know?
So that's going. You're not giving the dad bod enough credit. He's worse than a dad bod.
I agree.
It was a really serious problem here. I mean, I saw it and I went, oh my God! I was almost blinded by
it. The belly button also sticks out a lot in the picture, like right in your face.
Does anyone, though, feel like maybe this shouldn't have surfaced, though, considering it was consensual and all the rest of that, I'm kind of surprised.
Oh, definitely,
because you're going to start this, it's sort of a slippery slope. There are a lot of these out there on a lot of people.
Oh, God.
But I still want to make fun of the picture because he did send it.
All right. I got to go now. I can't do this.
Don't look at it again. Just get it out of the way.
Don't look at it.
Don't let anyone show it to you at Thanksgiving.
Right, you'll never unsee it. I promise you.